Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/Scorecard Plus for details.
The Bert Show.
So over the weekend, I sat in amazement and I was touched and inspired as well. And Kristen, I'm throwing this to you for this reason. And I said this before about your husband. The most meticulous,
yeah,
slow moving,
yeah,
intentional,
yeah,
perfectionist, mm-hmm, I have ever seen in my life. He is everything I am not.
You guys could be more polar opposite.
Couldn't be. But I admire his technique and his willingness to do everything and the time it takes to execute the smallest details and the biggest projects as well. As I struggle now, and these doctors are all telling me I need to learn how to chill out, man. You're wound way too tight. But I don't really process consciously stress that they've told me that I got to find hobbies. I got to figure out ways to slow it down. I got to do saunas. I need to chill my body out. So as I'm watching Bart this weekend, it's literally driving me crazy how slowly he is doing things. But everything he approached ended up perfectly.
So he is an extremely methodical, intentional person. And I say all that as a compliment because he doesn't rush through things, because when you rush through things, you make mistakes. And that's how things get screwed up. So if you just, instead of having to do things 2 or 3 times or causing yourself more issues down the road, if you just take a beat and you take a breath and you focus on the task at hand and you do it slow and intentionally, you do it well and it gets done right.
It's got to be maddening for you sometimes.
It is, because I'm also not that type of person. I'm not as bad as you, but when it comes to like, I'm like, okay, let's get it done. And it doesn't have to be, I'm to the point now too, I think as a working mom, it doesn't have to be perfect. It just needs to be done. But he still very much is, and not perfect in a bad way. He's just like, it's going to get done right. And I'm like, it doesn't have to be right. Just get it done.
And he's like this with everything. We've brought this up a couple of different times. We'll go out to dinner and everybody's ready to order. Bart is on, like, looking at the second item still of the entire. He'll look at every single one, compare it while we're all sitting there like, yeah, let's go. Nope. Uh-huh. He is going to pick the perfect entree for how he is feeling that night.
He's not rushed. He will not be rushed, because that's just, and it's so crazy too. And I don't know if this, I don't know if his upbringing had anything to do with that, or if it was like, I don't know, because I didn't grow up on a farm. I don't understand that type of lifestyle. It's 24/7. They never took vacations. You work 365 days a year. And maybe he's so intentional because there was so much I like to get to the why. I'm thinking this out. Like, the man was holding a machete at age 6. Like, you had to be really careful and really methodical. because there was a lot to lose, like limbs on the farm. You know what I mean? And he didn't end up doing that until his, you know, 40s when he was laying flooring for a woman. But so I think maybe that like has a little bit to do with it.
So that was going to be my next question real quick. Can that be learned? Because I was like, I need an internship with Bart.
Is it your patient's mentor?
Yeah, right. But I don't know that that can be learned. Like I watched this man. I was trying to help him pack up to leave the lake house, but I knew that there was no way that I could bring the bags out and put them in the truck. Like, I'm just going to help him out by putting them outside because it's a jigsaw puzzle that he was taking so much time with. I knew that I was never going to be able to figure it out. But I watched him. He had one of those little itty bitty speakers, right? Mm-hmm. All the bags and stuff were in the truck. And he placed the speaker in one bag and looked at it. It didn't work right for him. Mm-hmm. So then he placed it in another bag. Yeah. And for whatever reason in his mind, that wasn't the right place for this small little speaker. Mm-hmm. And he did that with four different bags before he settled on one. Wow. And I'm like, I literally said to him at the time, dude, I want to get into your head and your thought process on why you picked that bag other than the others, because I'm just throwing it in there.
Yeah. Well, and that's because that way he knows where to find it, because I know what little speaker thing you're talking about, and it's actually the mosquito repellent speaker, and he's going to need that when we get home for Jimmy to play in the sandbox. So I'm sure in his head, he's like, there is a bag that has the like all the mosquito stuff in it. Now, what's so funny is I watched all of this go down, the way he packed up and the way you packed up. So you saw bags, right? And Amanda was still downstairs gathering stuff. You threw all the bags into the car, mm-hmm. and she still had armloads of stuff that she needed to pack, but you had put all her bags in the car. And I saw the level of frustration on her face, whereas all our bags were lined up against by the door, and Bart was still putting stuff in, and everything was still getting organized. Because if you're organized when you get into the car, it'll be easier for you when you get out of the car.
Her sense of organization during that trip shocked me. That's something I've never seen before with her. So I thought I was helping out, but you're right.
Yeah, no, I witnessed it. I didn't say anything until now, but you literally put all the bags in the car, and in my head, I'm like, she's still downstairs packing. Like, all this stuff isn't. And then she came up, and she's like, where's the bags? And you're like, in the car. And I looked at her face, and I was like,
I just wanted to be helpful and some stuff. But I don't know. In looking at it, I don't think it can be taught. I think you either have that or you don't.
Well, I think the hardest part about learning patience is you need patience to learn patience.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
I feel like this is the perfect example of why you have to be so careful about going on reality TV, because they can make you look like anything they want you to look like. And this has everything to do with Gary Coleman's ex-wife, Shannon Price. So she was on an up-and-coming show called Lie Detector, Truth or Deception. And it's pretty much exactly what it sounds like. They hook you up to a lie detector and they start asking you questions to hopefully get some good juice out of you. And so, of course, for context, back in 2010, Shannon Price, of course, the widow of Gary Coleman, found him in a pool of blood after he fell following an intracranial hemorrhage in the home that they shared. And so, of course, for 15 years, people are like, well, that's a little suspicious. Wonder if she had any involvement in that. So, of course, during this lie detector test, the guy interviewing her is, of course, going to ask her about that situation. And let's just say she did not do a good job clearing herself from any suspicion.
The exam had to do with Gary's fatal fall.
Okay.
I asked you the following relevant questions on this test. Did you physically cause Gary's fall? Mm-hmm. You answered no.
Right.
I also asked you, did you physically cause Gary to fall that day? And you answered no. And the results are, you failed that exam with deception regarding Gary's fall.
That's false.
Obviously, she does not agree with the results.
Right.
Of course, she's shutting this down. She said, we were extremely disappointed with the overall experience of both the polygraph testing and dealing with A&E, which is the network that the show is coming out on. From the beginning, it was apparent they cared more about ratings than finding the truth.
Of course.
Well, duh, it's a TV show.
What's the shock about? Duh.
I'm going to go on this reality show and clear my name.
Yeah, plus she's the first one in this new show, right?
Yes.
So what you want to do is you want to create a buzz, especially on the first show. So of course it's going to be like this.
They're like, we have to pick somebody with a controversial reputation. We're going to take that reputation and make it something that we can turn into clickbait, which is exactly what they did. But of course you're going to have those people that are looking at it and going, well, of course she's going to shut it down. Like, lie detector tests don't lie. That's why it's a lie detector test. But I feel like those things have been kind of disproven that they're not always factual or accurate. Like, I feel like, what is it, Vogue or Vanity Fair that also does this? With celebrities, I feel like those people still lie all the time.
Well, there's a reason why it's inadmissible in court. Like, you can't use a lie detector test as evidence because they're not reliable.
If we wanted people to tell the truth, we would just give them four shots of tequila back to back and put them in front of a camera. Tell us what happened. What happened to your late husband?
That's what they're doing on Love Island.
Yeah. This is another thing that I feel like could be, is one of those videos that people are looking at and going, okay, this is either a satire or maybe there's a grain of truth here, because the Kennedy heir, Jack Schlossberg, he's known for his very dry sense of humor on his social media, but he posted something that sounds like maybe there's a little bit of truth to it, and it is the most bizarre request that he is putting out there for the women of America.
Hey everybody, I am ready to have kids. I want to have a kid via surrogate. I think it's much cleaner, much more efficient to have a kid via surrogate. It's very modern, and I just need to have kids, and I need to have them now. I want to make sure that my genetic material is passed down. I am not only athletic and handsome, but I'm smart and funny.
If you've ever seen Jack Schlossberg, you know that his genetic material does need to be passed down. That man has the most perfect head of hair. Oh my God, I wish we could like bottle it up and give it to men everywhere.
He has the Kennedy good looks, no doubt about it.
For sure.
The Burt Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. Forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Under any circumstance, it is hard to use a take back when you break up with somebody.
No takesies, backsies.
Yeah. Mulligan! It's in golf, you know, when you have a bad shot. You're allowed to do it one time when you're playing around. Mulligan, I'm going to take that one back. You can't really do that when it comes to relationships.
No, you shouldn't be able to. And yet, it seems like that is happening with one of my best friends right now. And I need you guys to settle this debate for me and my friends. So one of my really good friends, she lives in Texas. I don't see her all the time, but she has been dating this guy, her boyfriend, quote unquote, for about a year. And I say quote unquote because, okay, so they've been dating, but he's never asked her to be her girl, her boyfriend, her girlfriend.
He has never asked her to be
his girlfriend. Yes. So she just kind of decided they were boyfriend, girlfriend, like a month into their relationship. And he kind of rolled with it, I guess.
Has he ever called her his girlfriend? Like, yes. Has he used the words?
Yes, but kind of as a joke. Like, he also jokes about talking to other girls. So,
Isn't that great?
He's a comedian.
Isn't that fantastic?
Hilarious.
Is he trying to hide in plain sight?
I don't.
By doing that?
No. Okay, so to be very candid, me and the rest of her friends, not obsessed with him.
Yeah, obviously. But do people, like, are you supposed to have the talk, like the boyfriend-girlfriend talk? Because I don't ever remember having that conversation with my now husband. It just happened.
Are you sure you guys are married?
I don't know. I need to check. See if the certificate is legit. Like, do you just assume that you're boyfriend-girlfriend? Or do you have, like, the exclusive talk? Like, are we making this official? Are we boyfriend-girlfriend?
I think every relationship I've ever been in, it happened organically.
Yeah, same.
Except for the one I'm in now, I actually asked. But other than that, it just kind of happened.
Oh, you did? How'd you ask?
You want to be my girl?
He got him. Let me.
Oh, you want to be my girl? That's so cute.
It sounds like a Justin Bieber song. Hey, you want to be my girl?
I think I said it smoother than that. I was drunk. I don't remember.
Okay. Oh, it just became unsweet. I think in every relationship I've had, I have had that talk.
You have?
Yeah. Like, so what is this? Are you seeing people? Am I seeing people? What's going on?
Huh. I think it's fine to do it organically, except when the boy keeps making jokes about talking to other girls and is calling you his quote unquote girlfriend. Yeah. Then maybe you need like a little clarification. Mm-hmm. Okay. So they've been long distance for about 9 months because he had to move back to his hometown for some personal reasons. But that's temporary. He's supposed to be moving back to Texas. So all they do is text and send each other reels. And we tell her to break up with him. And she says no. That's been the extent of their relationship for like the past year. This past weekend, when I went down to see her for 4th of July weekend, she picked me up from the airport. We went to go get food. We sat down. She asked me about my new boyfriend. I'm in love. I'm disgusting. I ruin everyone's appetite. I ask her about her quote unquote boyfriend, and she tells me that that morning he had texted her and said, hey, I think it's time to fly the coop.
He texted, it's time to fly the coop?
It's time to fly the coop.
So what is he, 85 years old? That's the first thing.
I don't even know what that means.
Fly the coop.
It means leave the relationship.
Got it.
Well, she was a little confused, and she said, do you mean you're coming back to Texas? Or are you breaking up with me? And he said, I just think I need to stop holding you back.
Oh, come on.
What a coward. This guy's the worst.
I know.
Get rid of this guy.
And he's breaking up with her via text after a year together.
I know.
He wasn't vocal about getting together with her, but he was vocal about leaving.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. So she says, my friend just got here. Let's talk later. I'll call you on Sunday and we can actually talk about this. And he doesn't even respond.
What a complete total cop out.
He's like, there's nothing to talk about. I don't want to be with you. Yeah. Bye.
Well, Sunday rolls around and he starts texting and calling her. And he says, hey, I just want you to disregard that first message. I was not in a clear headspace. I don't think that we should break up. I was just feeling really confused and a little impaired because I was on antibiotics.
Oh, my God.
Get out of here.
He's like, my gut microbiome wasn't right. I couldn't be trusted to make a decision.
He did not blame that text.
He got
antibiotics.
He got a staph infection and says that he was not in his right mind because he was addled by antibiotics.
That can happen.
Can it?
Antibiotics can cause delirium.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, how about the whole year of douchebaggery? How long has he been on these antibiotics?
Maybe he has a long-lasting staph infection.
That could be true. And she's going to take him back.
Oh, no.
No, come on.
Yeah. She thinks it's a great excuse.
Rebecca's friend.
I know, stand up.
Is she also on antibiotics? Because that's
honestly
crazy.
She's acting like it. Yeah. So we're telling her to break up with him. She says antibiotics have cognitively impaired him. And I don't know where to go from here.
I think he's right. He is holding her back.
Yeah. This is one of those times where now she knows over the course of the year of what he's all about. Mm-hmm. You guys are friends. Just back out of the whole thing when it comes to this relationship. Because anything she gets now, she kind of deserves.
They both need a medical intervention, I think, at this point.
Not antibiotics, though.
Yeah. Lose the antibiotics and continue the relationship.
That's okay, stupid. I'll tell her.
Here, Bert Show.
We're not going to judge you. Publicly, we are not going to come down on you if you call and you're brave enough to say, yes, Bert Show, I lied so much on my resume. I got the job. What I am really curious about is once you got it, could you hold the job and did you do well at it because you lied so much on the resume and you didn't have the experience that you said you had? 1-855-237-8746. 1-855-BIRCHO.
Yeah, so I found a Reddit thread about people who lied on their resume and I was quite impressed with some of the lies they came up with. My favorite was the dude who says, I am my own references. So he puts references down, but it's actually him and he does different voices. People would call as references and and apparently it worked. He got jobs. It was no issue. And then I came across a stand-up clip of comedian Michael Che joking about lying on your resume.
You know, like if I wasn't doing comedy, I don't know what I'd be doing, you know? I don't know what I'd be doing. It wouldn't be good. I try. Like I would try to get a regular job. It's embarrassing. I have to like lie on my resume. You know how humiliating that is? You ever lie so bad on your resume that you can't believe you didn't get the job? You want to go back to Foot Locker, like really Foot Locker? Who the f*** you hire that has 8 years mayoral experience? And a degree in physics. Who is this amazing shoe salesman?
Then you got this guy on TikTok, and the timing of this is perfect this morning because he's like, I'm lying left and right on my resume, and he's not even feeling bad about it at all. This is Noah Reedy.
Not one word on my resume is true. And I'm killing these interviews because I'm just Johnny Ham checking my way through everything. I Googled a few terms and I'm just throwing them out there. I was like, yeah, I exceeded OTEs by 25%, retaining customer growth. I had one guy, I said I worked a sales development representative at Prime 7 Real Estate. And he took one look at my resume and he goes, Prime 7's a really good company. I made it up. It's not even real. That's how stupid these people are. And you go, oh, I don't get it. I have a good resume. I'm losing to people. You're losing to people like me. Who are making up.
I would live in constant fear if I got the job that I'm going to be called out.
Mm-hmm. That's almost like the worst thing that could happen if you do get it.
I actually just for S and Giggles, I asked ChatGPT real quick. They said, come up with an embellished resume for Burt Weiss.
Okay. All right.
And it had, this is kind of scary. So your name, your location, your email address, your handle, all that's at the top.
Neat.
Radio host, media personality, reluctant TikTok dad.
What?
I don't know what that means. Reluctant TikTok dad. Plus, it's a word I have such a hard time saying. An undercover empath.
Undercover empath. I don't even know what that would qualify me for.
And then it says award dodging morning show icon.
War dodging.
That's hysterical.
What's the word? Bird.
Wow. I'm trying to figure out which war and what did I do?
Award dodging. Oh, maybe because you keep getting nominated for the National Radio Hall of Fame, but you don't get in.
Oh, award.
Yeah, not war.
I thought you said war dodging.
You're not a draft dodger.
And hard of hearing.
I literally thought you said war.
No, award.
This is going to actually transition perfectly to me right now. Because I got to tell you, it's the same story that I had last year and the year before, where I start getting texts left and right. And this was on June 30th. This was the day that the Radio Hall of Fame announced who got in this year. And I have been nominated a few years now and haven't gotten in. Totally forgot about it, but I'm on vacation with Amanda and Amanda was checking. I mean, she got up in the morning immediately and checked and told me the news that I did not get in again this year, right?
Again
for the third year in a row this year, right? So my friend, my radio friend Mojo did get in, which was really, really nicest guy in this industry.
He's the best.
The best, right? So he's the first guy from our sort of morning show radio class to get in. There was him, there was me, there was John Jay and Rich, there was Kevin Ralston. We all sort of got in at the exact same time and Mojo was the first one to get in. So when she told me, I'll be 100% honest with you. There was about 10 minutes of like disappointment. Like, oh man, I really wanted to get in that thing. And then there was like jealousy also. Like, gosh, it really would have been really cool to be the first one of our class to get in. But good for Mojo, right? And then after that, I think it's so different for me this year because I just feel so settled. And I think I've said this on the show before. I feel so settled in what we have all done here and what the Burt Show has done in Atlanta over 25 years. And, you know, in looking at Burt's Big Adventure, the impact that we've had and just knowing what we've done in this industry, that it really became kind of this superficial thing to me that, sure, it would have absolutely been an honor to get in. I mean, my God, my mentor, Kid Craddock is in there. And that's the thing that I really wanted is like right by his name to have me in there next to him would have been really, really awesome. But I just feel so differently about it. Like, I kind of know who I am and I kind of know what we've done. And to be honest with you, I'm not one of those guys that knows everything that goes on in our industry. I usually just try to take care of like 6 to 10 a.m. I don't talk a lot about radio outside of this. I don't talk to managers in general. I don't know a lot of people in this industry. And this is all voted by people in the industry. So I'm kind of at a disadvantage there also by my own doing. And also, I talked a lot of crap about our industry the last couple of years publicly. Like at conventions, I've been really, really honest about how I feel about ownership of content and how the industry has changed. And I don't know if that helped my case either. But either way, I tell you what, it was 10 minutes of disappointment. Like, damn, that would have been really great this year. And then I was really over it. But I'm getting these texts like it was a death in the family. I'm so sorry you didn't get in. Next year, buddy. Oh, I am really sorry. You deserve to get it. Dude, I didn't need that at all. I really didn't feel that at all.
You know what you need is a summary of ChatGPT.
Because okay.
It has freaking nailed it.
Okay.
Award-dodging morning show icon with over 2 decades of experience waking up America, mostly Atlanta, with brutal honesty, contagious laughter, and highly questionable life advice. Oh, a master of oversharing, emotional vulnerability, and awkward silence breaking. Recognized by dozens of listeners and at least one Uber driver as that guy from the radio.
It's the Burt Show.
It's the Burt Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story.
If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help.
It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. Forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
I think there's a very easy answer to the question, am I being an a-hole? If you're talking about somebody's looks, and here is the question, did they ask? If they asked, then you're not the a-hole. If they didn't, then I think you're an a-hole.
I don't know. This situation, I kind of see where this person is coming from, and maybe it is a-hole vibes, but I can't really blame them. So she writes, am I the a-hole for telling my friend she's in the same league as the men she calls ugly? My friend, who's 19, female, downloaded dating apps like Tinder and Hinge for the first time about a week ago. For reference, she's the type that always says she wants a boyfriend, wants to do a couple things, feels lonely being single, etc. She's also, in my opinion at least, very normal and average looks-wise. Not ugly, not super hot, just all right. Since then, she's been complaining to me that almost all the men on these apps are ugly or don't come up to her standards and that she doesn't ever match with anybody hot. I asked to see which people she was calling ugly, and so she showed me her likes, and it showed mostly people perfectly in her league, as in moderately attractive guys. Again, not ugly, not super hot, just all right. I told her that these guys were all in her league and she should give some of them a chance since she always complains about wanting to be in a relationship. She denied that she's in the same league as them and said she's much more attractive than them. I pointed out that in her own words, she doesn't match with any of the guys she does find attractive, so she's apparently not in their league. She's not that hot. She said, I'm an a-hole. Am I?
That is such an a-hole thing to say about your friend. There are some things you just don't vocalize. I mean, I understand like this is a Reddit thread and it's just like anonymous, but honestly, it feels like the corporate people at Hinge were the ones that wrote that prompt because it is an ongoing thing for people to be like, why is Hinge recommending these gremlins to me as my most compatible? I'm offended every time I turn it on and I'm like, this is my most compatible?
I do think, okay, let's take the marketing out of it and let's just assume that it's honest, right? I do think that if somebody is coming to you over and over and over again and they're complaining about the same thing and complaining about the dating apps, at some point as a friend, I could see you like being at the end. Okay. And you're just done with it. So you just throw out like, look, You're trying to shoot way over what you look like. I can see that.
I also just think the dating apps really skew people's perception of what they're attracted to, because the way somebody carries themselves in person is so different. So maybe like when she goes out in person, she's not striking out with guys that she finds attractive. But then people's mind shift just completely changes when you see people as almost like an Amazon wish list, where it's like it's you're looking at a person with these different characteristics. And a lot of guys, like, they just have so many more options because you have all these beautiful women with filters on the Hinge, to where it skews their perception, and the women who are going after like the normally attractive guys are striking out with them because they have so many options of the hot girls using the filters and the Facetune and all that, that it's just not a winning combination for anybody.
All right, so I know they say like the basis of a good friendship is honesty. You should be able to tell your best friend anything and everything, right? However, I don't ascribe to that. And then in this particular instance, like if she's like lamenting or whatever, like I'm not going to encourage her stay in Delulu land, but I'm also not going to be like, yeah, girl, like you think you're hotter than you think you are. Like I'm there to be a hype woman. I'm there to like, I'm there to be like a support and a hype woman. I'm not there to like knock you down a couple pegs. Like if you think you're that hot, then good on you, girl.
But if you're constantly complaining about not being in a relationship and being single, and that's like all you're talking about, how do you encourage someone to be like, go on one of those dates, you knowing that you're in the same league, without being like, you're in the same league?
It's so different for guys. We'd be honest with each other.
I don't think the friend was wrong for what she was attempting to do. I just think it was the delivery. Yeah. I understand where she was coming from, and I would be that kind of honest with my friend if I felt like my friend needed that kind of honesty. I would have tried to deliver it in a way where it wasn't as hurtful.
I've got two thoughts here. First of all, you said this person is 19, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so when you're 19 years old, you have a laundry list that is 50 things long of what you are looking for in a man, right? By the time you're 40, it's 2.
You get to Abby's age and it's like, must be breathing.
Right. I'm not there quite yet. Give me 6 more months.
Must be breathing and have floppy brown hair.
Yeah.
So I don't think you guys were part of the Burt Show when we did this before, and I'm wondering, maybe this was just something we could do 15 years ago and you couldn't do it now. But we asked listeners, like, look, if you want us to rate you, go ahead, send us a picture and we will rate you.
Oh, I was here.
Were you here for this?
Yes.
You guys were?
Yes, okay. We were both here for
so
this.
So we rated them and then we put them into categories on the website.
Let me paint a picture.
It was brutal.
Let me paint a picture.
But they were asking. They wanted the input.
You had to go to theburtshow.com, submit your photo, and we would rank you and put you in different houses. You were either going to be a 4, a 5, a 6, a 7. Yes. Seriously. And what
you're a Hufflepuff.
It's essentially,
you're ugly.
That's essentially what we were doing. So after the show, the entire show sat there. We had TV up like we do in this studio. And we had somebody pop the photos up on the screen. And we sat there and we ranked people. And then we added all the numbers up, divided it, and came up with the average of what that
people were pissed.
Look,
how can you be mad if you submit it to us and you're like, hey, Burt Show, rank me. Uh-huh. And then we rank you. You can't get mad at us for our opinion.
But it was insane because you'd look at the pictures and I might be like, they're an 8, and someone else in the studio is like, they're a 2. And so we would have these weird averages.
That's the issue, is you submitted thinking you're an 8 and then you've been told you're a 4. And yeah, I can see where the disappointment would come in.
If you think you're an 8, you're not submitting a picture.
What was so, and your theory was, so we were going to do this. It was multi-leveled and multi-tiered. So people were going to submit photos. We were going to rank them, right? And we were going to do it on the website, but then we were going to have a party, all right? We were going to do an event, and there would be a room only for the 6s. And if you were a 6, you could go in 6 or below, but you couldn't go in anything above.
You couldn't go mingle with the hot people.
No, you couldn't go. If you were a 6, you were not allowed in the 8 room. So we were going to have these individual rooms of how people were ranked, and they would go in that room and try to meet somebody and match somebody.
That's hilarious.
I love this idea again.
I hate it, honestly.
We're going to rate them, and then the audience is going to rate us bottom of the Nielsen ratings.
It doesn't matter. Look, I really feel like if you are submitting a picture, then you are open to our opinions.
True.
Here's what, if we were going to do it again.
We're not.
I don't know.
I favorite.
We
make it clear. It's based on like looks alone, and you've got a bevy of people with different tastes, right? Yeah. It's not about personality or pockets or anything like that. It's literally just the people on this staff and how they perceive people.
You know, if we were going to do it again, you know how I'd want to raise the stakes on it? Is that it's easy to judge somebody by picture and then just put them up online. What if we had to tell them?
No.
So they're on the phone and we're all going around and then you go 6, I go 8, you go 4. You have to say it to them.
I'm sick that day.
Yeah. I don't want to be a part of this. I mean, that's the thing. Like, if you're willing to subject yourself to that kind of scrutiny and critique, then I think we owe it to that person to be honest.
I think so, too.
Can we take money under the table to get us 6 to 7?
I mean, in this economy, sure, why not?
Yeah.
All right, so this is one we should brainstorm, okay?
Yes,
I think we should. Yeah, why not?
Tommy, do you have any recollection? Because, I mean, again, this was approximately, 15 years ago that we did this. How did it go?
I think I remember you being a 4.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
That's why she doesn't want to do it.
Oh, I know where I stand. Well, speaking of bad ideas, Firefest is back in the news cycle because Billy McFarland is trying to pawn off this company on somebody else. If you forget what Firefest was, back in 2017, Billy McFarland and rapper Ja Rule were basically hyping up this quote-unquote ultra-luxury music event, and then it ended up being like a literal disaster site. He got convicted of wire fraud. He was supposed to serve 6 years in prison. And now he's out and about and he says he is ready to sell the company.
This is Billy McFarland and I've done a lot of crazy things, but this might be the craziest thing yet. This is day 6 of doing a walk and talk every single day. And today I am taking the most famous festival brand, Fyre Festival, and putting it up for auction on eBay. Starting at 1 cent.
So even though the bids have started at 1 cent, apparently on eBay right now, there are bids that have exceeded $200,000 for the Fyre Festival brand.
Are they legit?
Yes. I mean, it's on eBay. How much more legit can it be? Like, you have to put a credit card down. You have to put a bank account down.
Wow.
Who would have that kind of cash, right?
I mean, I guess you're playing for the popularity of the name?
Yeah.
In order to rebrand it?
Think about if the people behind Coachella bought the Fyre Festival brand, and they're like, we're actually going to take this thing that has been a bust because it's been run by this scam artist, and we actually make it something legit. I don't think it's a terrible idea.
Have you guys been watching the series on Netflix that's Trainwreck?
Mm-hmm.
And it has a whole bunch of different things like American Apparel. Have you guys watched that?
Yeah, because we watched the poop one.
That's the one I've seen.
The poop cruise was one of them. They also did one on American Apparel and how absolutely awful the CEO was and how it rose to fame and then it crashed. There's one on Woodstock 99 also. And I don't know what I was doing in 99, but I didn't realize how incredibly bad it was. It was like the original Fyre Fest.
It was a cluster. It was bad. Totally. And I wanted to go so bad. I wanted to go so, so bad. And my parents refused. Somebody went and bought me a T-shirt and brought it back, and that was my souvenir. But hindsight's 20/20. They were right, because that was a gnarly experience.
They were having riots. They were setting trucks on fire. There were fires everywhere.
Wow.
It was a security nightmare. Mm-hmm. But if you haven't seen it yet, watch it, because it really was way worse, I think, than Fyre Fest.
Yeah, they said like the angst, and like you could just feel the tension rising within the crowd, that you knew at some point it was going to boil over because of just like the intensity and the anger that was building within the crowd, that they were like, it felt like it was going to explode at any moment.
And also the artists that were encouraging it also, like Limp Bizkit went up there and totally encouraged it, and they got everybody crazy. And then there were people that were naked, literally having sex in the middle of the crowd. There was a lot of serious stuff that was going on there also, where women weren't willing. It was an absolute and total cluster. It's worth the watch. It's only like an hour long.
Okay, interesting.
I think maybe it's 3 episodes, actually, that one.
Okay. So I'm thinking back to the bit we were just pitching about having listeners send in their photo and we're going to rate them on their appearance. And I'm like, that's horrible. Why would we do that to the people that support us and listen to us and enjoy hearing us every morning? And then I thought, How many times have we all received a bizarre or very specific comment about our appearance from somebody who follows you on social media or someone who's been out and about thinking that they're just making some kind of comment about you? And then I saw this clip from Joe Jonas, who is experiencing that in real time, where he came across a fan in the wild who said that they were just talking about him and something very specific about his appearance.
I was walking with my buddy in Soho, and this person sees me and she goes, oh, we were just talking about you. I was like, oh, nice. Nice things, I hope. She goes, we were talking actually about your tiny nipples.
What?
I think they're quite average size nipples, but yeah. And then she was like, oh, my friends are over there. If you want to, when they see you, they're going to like totally laugh because we were just talking about it. I was like, oh, great. Thank you.
People really just be saying anything.
Anything.
Man. They just did it on a video that you and I did. I feel like.
Oh, no. I don't read the comments for this specific reason.
So, and I'll go to Facebook. Insta, typically, for the most part, is pretty good. You get, like, the odd, like, rude comment.
Uh-huh.
But you and I crushed this video. So many other people attempted. I was actually against it. Rebecca convinced us to do it, or convinced me to do it. And it's the Mamacita lip dub.
Oh, yes, from Love Island.
From Love Island.
Yes.
You and I did it, and we crushed. I mean, as far as, like, syncing up, it was perfect. I saw other people do it and I was like, you guys suck. Abby and I did it so much better.
Uh-huh.
But in the comments, if you don't want me to read it, I won't.
No, it's okay. Go for it.
She goes, dang, Abby, you really don't care how you look at work. Rolled out literally.
That's why we got into radio, man. You can say that for any one of us.
And I'm like, how rude. By the way, listeners had your back. And a.serial.mom, she was like, because she can and she still looks fantastic. Evan Murphy, don't change a thing, sis. You gorgeous.
Boom. All right.
I don't even know how to respond to that. But I mean,
rude.
People are so, people just be saying anything. And you know what? I would love for someone to say that to my face so then I can clock you.
There was an influencer last week. I just saw this that she reviews documentaries and somebody made a comment about the size of her forehead. And then other dudes jumped on it also, ripping on her for her forehead. So she went to all of their profiles, took pictures of them and posted them all.
Yeah, that's the new thing now. If you go and you say something nasty to somebody.
Yeah.
They are now responding. Instead of ignoring it or deleting it or blocking you, they're taking your profile and your comment and they're blasting it for everybody to see what kind of D-bag you are.
It's always somebody with no profile picture or someone who has a ridiculous amount of Facetune on their picture. Yeah. All right, for more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
This is the Burt Show.
Tommy says we got a priority call here. Courtney is upset. Courtney is upset because she's been ghosted and can't figure out why.
I was about to be like, God, what do we do? What do we say? What do we do?
I mean, if somebody was calling up right now to complain about something we did on the show, it's a good question. What would it be?
What would they complain about?
About something we did today?
Yeah.
The rating listeners and their appearance.
Absolutely.
I can't believe you guys would say things about other people's appearances, even though we do it all the time.
Yeah. Well, now they will be complaining about that.
Our voice.
Yeah.
All right, Courtney, you are not complaining about us, but you certainly have a complaint. What's going on?
So I've heard you guys do your second date update before.
Yes.
And you know, why like somebody didn't get a second date. I was seeing this guy, Derek, for like 3 weeks. And so we went on 3 dates and we were texting every day and he even started calling me babe. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I thought we were on the same page and then he just vanished, disappeared. Yeah, so I need a fourth date update.
All right, so for 3 days you guys are going out. He starts hitting you up with a babe on the third date. Like, hey, babe, will you pass the blank, blank, blank?
Mm-hmm, yep.
That's a major offense right there.
Yeah, it sounds like Derek puts the D in D-bag.
Wow. There's your sound bite for that.
Promo! this sucks. Well, here's what I'll say. I think the third date is a very pivotal date. The first mm-hmm. date and the third date might be the most important dates you go on in your relationship other than like, you know, spending the rest of your lives together, God willing, if that happened. But the first date, it's like deciding whether or not you even like this person. And then the third date, I feel like kind of establishes whether or not you see a relationship with this person.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So I feel like he maybe just kind of was like, okay, we made it to date 3. I don't know if I necessarily see this going forward. And I'm just going to be a little wussy. And I'm just going to ghost instead of being honest about my feelings.
But he babed her.
But some people, so we actually just had this debate on Love Island where somebody was getting, Maya Papaya was getting flack for, you know, calling her partner babe and love. And then her now partner, Brian, stepped up and defended her and just said, listen, in our culture, it's very normal to be affectionate with your language and call people babe and love and honey or whatever. So maybe he was just, you know, being... it's just how he grew up, and he normally just calls people that.
That's true. The pet names can be very different for different people. I know people who call everybody babe, everybody love. But the third date, that to me, if we get to the third date, we cooking. Like, we really on our way going somewhere with it. So I don't imagine, you would have to do something like egregious for me to just ghost you after a third date.
We hear stories on this show. We've taken calls from people that get ghosted after 6 months now.
That's true.
Courtney Bird has said before, though, now he takes a differing stance because he does believe that closure is good. But if this guy has ghosted you, he's already shown you like who he is and what he's about. Why do you feel the need to try to get to reach out to him, to make contact?
Well, the last text I got was saying good night, can't wait to see you again, and that was 2 weeks ago. And so I think you know, getting that text has just kind of made me feel very hopeful about it.
Yeah.
You know, still.
And then he just is gone.
Yeah. And I honestly just want to know why. Like, if I did something weird, I'd rather know than, you know, sit here wondering forever because of that last text he said, you know, and I don't know. I'm just like, ugh.
Okay. It's been a while since we've done one of these, but I'm more than eager. The thing is, we're out of time on the show today. So do you want to hold on? And in a couple of minutes, we can record this and we can call him and see if he will tell you straight up exactly why there's been no fourth date.
I think I need that. Like, I think I need to actually hear him say why, you know?
Now I got to change all the letterhead from second date update to fourth date update and change the banners and everything on the website. But yeah, we can do this for you. Hold on 1 second. Don't go anywhere. I'm going to put you on hold and we'll call this guy. What's his name?
Derek.
D-bag Derek.
D-bag Derek.
How could you forget?
Good branding, Abby. All right, we'll call D-bag Derek and then we'll play it tomorrow morning, but we'll record it in a couple of seconds, okay?
Okay.
All right, hang with us. It's The Burt Show.
This is The Burt Show.